So Bert and Ernie were the best of friends, but were they also romantically involved? Mark Saltzman, a writer on Sesame Street for 9 years, said he had written them as gay. But this drew a swift response from the official Sesame Street workshop, who said Bert and Ernie are puppets and therefore have no sexual orientation. Dr. Chloe Benson is a lecturer in screen and media studies at Federation University Australia. Welcome to RN Drive.
Hi, Patricia.
I suppose that's technically true, yes. Now, the Sesame Street workshop's official response stated puppets don't have sexual orientations, but yeah. Kermit and Miss Piggy have been famously together for years. So yep. One rule for them and one rule for the others. Why the denial?
Well, I mean, a lot of people are going to see this issue as quite light, but as the furor that's erupted online reveals, for a lot of people it feels like quite a sort of personal thing that, you know, seemingly puppet heterosexuality is acceptable or, you know, okay to speculate on, but that the sort of suggestion of Bert and Ernie of potentially having a romantic relationship seems a bit ludicrous.
Who gets to decide whether fictional characters, puppets, are gay or not? I mean, is it the writer, the audience, the Sesame Street, you know, factory? Who decides this?
Oh, this is a really tricky question in some ways, and it gets to the heart of issues around authorial intention. And we don't see this only play out in relation to questions of puppet sexuality. I mean, you think about George Lucas and the Star Wars films, for instance, and the way we get these sort of disagreements between fans and directors. So, this case is particularly interesting because when we look at, you know, Sesame Street and The Muppet Show, we're talking about various writers, not to mention all the people involved at the various stages of production and marketing of the series. So to suggest that sort of one person or each of these people has some say over what the truth is a little bit, you know, bizarre in some ways. So ultimately, I guess, when we're looking at screen text, the idea that there's one sole universal answer is quite a flawed way to approach them.
Okay. What is your view?
What is my view? I think I'm in the sort of Bert and Ernie are a little more than friends camp. Pardon the pun, using camp there, I suppose.
Okay. Where's your evidence?
Where is my evidence? Well, you know, they seem to have this, you know, bond. They've got their sort of sharing the one room and have had this enduring friendship over time. It does seem that there's a bit more going on there. But I suppose ultimately to kind of tap into the text from earlier, whether I view them that way and other people view them another way doesn't sort of really matter. There is no one answer. And my view doesn't kind of challenge or override another person. So we can all kind of have our different take on them and all sort of live, you know, harmoniously, hopefully.
Yeah, let's just, you know, live a happy life, not really having a big feud. But either way, it has hit the zeitgeist in a pretty significant way.
It has, yeah.
How do audiences read sort of gay, lesbian, queer attraction in TV shows and films? What signifies this?
Well, there are a whole range of things. So there are some established codes that, you know, if we look into scholarship, we can see a long history of particular things that have kind of existed on screen for, you know, for decades. But we also see instances like the Australian horror film The Babadook, for instance, where seemingly, you know, there's no kind of explicit coding or suggestion of queer sexuality, but that this monster figure has just kind of taken off on social media as a queer icon. So again, it's quite open and ambiguous, and there does seem to be a bit of kind of luck of the draw about it in some ways, where things just kind of capture the cultural attention, I guess, and take off.
Is the fact that this is a children's show also relevant here? You know, it's not, it's a show that's all, it's actually targeted at children.
Yeah, and I think that that's why for some people, you know, it does feel particularly uncomfortable or they get quite, you know, upset about it. I mean, the Sesame Workshop response, they kind of point this out that, you know, these characters were developed for preschoolers to teach, you know, kids that you can be different and still get along. So I think that we do culturally get really uncomfortable kind of thinking about any form of sexuality, you know, in the same sentence or idea of thinking about, say, a children's text. At the same time, though, we do see, you know, romantic kind of couplings in children's television and film all the time, you know, the high school sweethearts or the, you know, the two kids in primary school who seem to have a crush on one another. So I think I can see how that makes people uncomfortable, but it could also potentially be seen to be a little bit homophobic to have such a negative reaction to the suggestion.
Thank you so much for your time.
All right. See you later.